ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 2। महाराज नेमी मिट्स द 9 योगेंद्रस। Text 2. Ko nu rajan indriyavan mukunda charnambhujam na bhajet sarvato mrityur उपास्यम् अमरोत्तमे। को नु राजन् इन्द्रियवान् मुकुन्द चरणाम्बुजम् न भजेत् सर्वतो मृत्युर् उपास्यम् अमरोत्तमे। को नु राजन् इन्द्रियवान् मुकुन्द चरणाम्बुजम् न भजेत् सर्वतो मृत्युर् उपास्यम् अमरोत्तमे।
माताजी
Word by word meaning kaha, who, no, indeed, rajan, O king, indriyavan, possess of senses, mukunda charana ambujam, the lotus feet of Lord Mukunda, na bhajet, would not worship, sarvata mrityu, being faced by death on all sides, upasyam, worshipable, amara uttamai, by the best of liberated personalities. Translation and purpose. Translation. My dear king, in the material world, the conditioned souls are confronted by death at every step of life. Therefore, who among the conditioned souls would not render service to the lotus feet of Lord Mukunda, who is worshipable even for the greatest liberated souls? Purport. The word Indriyavan is significant in this verse. Indriyavan means possessing senses. Although we are conditioned within the material world, by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, we are awarded a human body which possesses distinct senses such as the eyes, ears, tongue, nose and skin. Generally, the conditioned souls use these senses in a false attempt to exploit the material nature for sense gratification. But our material senses and our objects are temporary, and it is not possible to become peaceful or happy in the attempt to gratify our temporary senses with the temporary sense objects offered by Maya, the illusory energy of the Lord. In fact, our strenuous endeavor to satisfy the material senses inevitably brings exactly the opposite result, namely material suffering. A man is attracted to a woman. Being sexually aroused, he marries her, and soon there is a family that requires ever increasing support. In this way, his innocent and simple life is ended, and he spends the major portion of his life working hard like an ass to support the demands of his family. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Kapila describes very clearly that in spite of the exhausting work a man performs throughout his life, his family is ultimately dissatisfied. And when the exhausted father reaches old age, the irritated family members look upon him just as farmers look upon an old and useless ox. Sometimes the sons dream of receiving their father's money as an inheritance and secretly wish for him to die. Nowadays, people strongly resent the trouble of caring for the elderly person, parents, and therefore send them to an institution where they die lonely and neglected after a life of hard work for their so-called loved ones. One doctor in England is seriously proposing euthanasia for elderly persons who are no longer productive. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Chagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Taru Bescha Krupa Sindhu Bhyevicha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So in this verse, Shukadeva Goswami is again kind of reminding about the death. He is saying that in the material world, the conditioned souls are confronted by death at every step of life. Therefore, who among the conditioned souls would not render service to the lotus feet of Lord Mukunda, who is worshipable even for the greatest liberated souls? So, here Shukadeva Goswami is telling to Parikshit Maharaj, who is going to meet death within few days. And again refocusing on the activities of Lord Mukunda. In the previous chapter we saw that how it was a prelude to the destruction of Yadu dynasty. How the Yadu dynasty was destroyed. How the impudence of these children caused them to invoke the curse of saintly people. And Lord Krishna explains that even somebody may be my own son, if he offends devotees, then I can't spare that soul. And of course, there is another reason, Krishna's internal reason. He wanted to take back all the souls, eternal associates who had come to participate in his wonderful pastime, to take them back home. And here it is explained that Srila Narad Muni, who goes to Dwarka to see the wonderful activities of Lord Krishna, and to give instructions to Vasudev. And Vasudev also, being a very dutiful person, he welcomes Narad Muni and is submissive to hear from him. It is not that because he is a king, he has been affected by that power. But when the saintly people come, one should take advantage by hearing from them. Because that is the purpose of human form of life. Athato brahma jidnyasa. And it is explained that his soul, we are all eternal souls, and we have come from the spiritual world. And when that soul has come in this mortal world to falsely enjoy, that soul is given material body, which has eyes, ears, tongue, nose, skin. The temporary material body is given to the eternal soul. Krishna also explains in Bhagavad Gita, Shotra chakshu sparshanam cha rasanam ghranam eva cha adhishtaya cha manishtaya. So the soul gets material body, which consists of these various senses. And one may try to enjoy through these material senses, various sense objects. But ultimately this happiness, which is derived from these material senses, is temporary and illusory. In fact, the senses and sense objects both are temporary. So how can they derive eternal happiness when the senses themselves are temporary, the sense objects are temporary? How it is possible that they can attain eternal happiness? So it is a false conception that one can be happy in this material world. One may be happy in illusion, thinking that he can enjoy or she can enjoy. That is a hallucination created by the mind. And that is the greatest problem in this material world. And the more one tries to satisfy those desires, material desires, one gets more and more implicated. One doesn't know what is the solution. And in this way, his whole life gets wasted. So therefore, it is very important how to understand what is the goal of life or what is real happiness. unless one hears from spiritual authorities who are very elevated in their realizations, it is very difficult to come to that platform where their real happiness exists. And in the material world we can see that the whole propaganda is to be happy through material sense objects. One thinks that if I get some kind of sense objects or what others have, then I may be happy. What one has, if he focuses on one, what one has, then one will be satisfied what Lord has given to us. But usually one is not happy with what one has. One always thinks that what others have, if I get that, then I'll be happy. Therefore we can see that people, even if they get, even if they buy their own gadgets, still the handset in the other person's hand is looks more attractive, isn't it? How he is using that, his ringtone or whatever, his car, his dress, what others have, it looks very attractive. But what one has, one thinks, oh, that is, one is not grateful to the Lord, what one Lord has given to him. So therefore, one is thinking, always thinks that if I get some, what somebody else has, then I'll be happy. And that is the whole, how we perceive this material world. If we focus on what we have, then we'll think that, yeah, Lord has given me so many things, so I have to be always dissatisfied. I have to always complain to the Lord. Why Lord is not giving me this or that. Give me some position, power. Give me youth to enjoy more. Whatever body will get old, here also in the purport it is graphically explained that what is the problem of old age. And it is going to happen to everyone. It is not that as the years progress, one will become younger and younger. When one sees a young person, he feels that, I'm also becoming young. Because that's how he projects himself within his own mind. That others are younger, so maybe I'll also become younger. I'll also be more powerful, more energetic. But that is the greatest illusion actually. And if one gets this knowledge about Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, then one will come to the practical life. What is happening in one's own life? One has to really focus on what is happening in our own life instead of trying to think, I have to get more money, I have to get more assets or nice home, making plans for so many decades. So that is the false conception it is portrayed in this material world. And spiritual life or the scriptures, they give the exactly opposite. In fact, they give the real hope. The real hope is in the spiritual life, not in the material life. Because ultimately, whatever one may acquire in this material world, it is limited. And it is temporary. One may think that I can become eternally happy with temporary objects. It is impossible. One will live eternally in the illusion. So therefore, one has to take shelter of the transcendental sound vibration in the form of holy name, in the form of glories of the Supreme Lord. And here in the association of devotees, that will help us to elevate one's consciousness. Because consciousness is what is important. The body will get old. But what is happening to our own consciousness? Are we elevating our own consciousness? Or are we still latching on to those old memories and childhood, thinking that let me become young and there will be no problems and I can play happily? That's a childhood. One has to mature. And here, Srimad Bhagavatam explains that how when one becomes old, what happens to the person? In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained that when one becomes old, his own family members, they become more irritated with the person. When I was preparing this class, I was thinking that maybe this is a modern problem. That people are not cared for in their old age. But when I was just coming, I read one line of Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada writes that it is not an oldish, the ancient problem. It is not a modern problem. This problem has been existing in the earlier ages also. That when people become old, nobody cares for them. Nobody likes them. Because they become more unproductive. They are no longer productive. And therefore, nobody wants them. And in today's world also we can see that there is so much emphasis on productivity. How much one is productive, that much one will be valued materially. In the material world we can see that as long as person is stronger, enthusiastic, productive, contributing, one will get payment. And as soon as person becomes old, then Haribol, VRS, Ghar Jao, Ghar Vapsi. Isn't it? So that is a problem. And in fact, what is, even in that also, productivity, how much one can do the work, maximum work. And therefore, they are trained to work like robots almost. Particular job has to be done in a particular way, and every day this much has to be done. So they are trained to become like robots almost. There is hardly scope for creativity. When some job is given, you have to do that job, same again and again. So that is the irony of this modern technology. That human beings are trained to become like robots, and robots are given artificial intelligence. Robots are trained to behave like human beings. They should exactly work like human beings. They should not demand too much, but they should keep working. And in this way, human beings are eliminated. So that is a problem. So, human beings, how to handle them? How to handle this human resource? That requires humanity. They should not be treated like some machines. When the machine is unproductive, just replace the machine. So therefore, without Krishna consciousness, one even cannot treat human beings as humans. It is so important to give this consciousness that they are human beings, they have feelings, they are not like machines. They are not productive, so just throw them out. So therefore, it requires to give this consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada explains in Srimad Bhagavatam that at some places, he explains that in there are some communities, some tribal communities, it's like a sport to kill old people. It's very disheartening to hear such kind of words. But such things are going on. And they kill them in a sporting way and eat their flesh. Without realizing that one day they will be in that position. Those people, those who are taking that pleasure, that killing old people, they don't realize that one day I'll become old and I'll be also getting killed like that. So that is the power of illusion. One thinks that it is happening to others, but it will not happen to me. Other person may be suffering in a particular way, but it will not come to me. So that is the greatest power of illusion. And therefore one must prepare himself to solve this problem of life. Lord Krishna also explains in Bhagavad Gita, these are the real problems. Janma Mrityu Charagadi. Birth, death, old age and disease. These are the real problems. And therefore, one has to solve these problems. In today's world, nobody is allowed to think also that one is going to die. What will happen after death? Nobody is allowed to think like that. I was meeting with some professors, lady professors, from one eminent college, and they were telling that it is so important to give this kind of knowledge to these youths, because these youths are thinking that they'll get big salary and they can be happy. At least we have to tell them that there is something called as death. that everyone has to face in their lives. Everything is going to end someday. Because in young youth, one doesn't realize that. So therefore, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, it gives a realistic picture. And therefore, one can really prepare one's consciousness. And one who is preparing such consciousness will not get affected by the changes of this material body. Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Dehi nu asmin yatha dehe kaumaram yavanam jara tatha dehantara prapte dhiras tatra namuyati. That a sober person is not bewildered by the changes of the material body. The body is going through so many changes. Childhood, youth, old age. Body is going to go through these changes. But a sober person is not bewildered by such changes. Otherwise, if one doesn't have this knowledge, one gets really bewildered. When somebody is young, one thinks that, let me become youth and I'll be more stronger and lot of money and I can do whatever I want. But the time is ticking so imperceptibly that within no time one reaches old age. And one thinks that, what has happened? Why am I not having strength? At one time I went to one shop, Xerox machine. I wanted some work. And I saw that there was one kind of printout they had pasted on the wall. And there were three lines. Of course, it is in Hindi. Ladakpan khel mein kya ho? Ladakpan khel mein khela. Jawani neend bhar soya. Budapa dekhkar roya. Ladakpan khel mein khoya. Uska jo bachpan, whatever his childhood, he kept playing. Balavastha krida sakta. Childhood, everyone wants to play. Nobody thinks that there is something higher truth. Ladakpan khel mein khoya. Jawani neend bhar soya. Budapa dekhkar roya. So when I read that, I immediately remembered Dehino asmin yatha dehe kaumaram yavanam jara. That this is the real truth. They have written in a very different way. But there is a huge depth in that three lines actually. So therefore, it is not just becoming physically old that one will realize the ultimate truth. It is not just the physical age that will give some maturity. That also gives sometimes. But it is the attitude of the mind. It is the maturity of the mind. When one is elevated in consciousness, then one becomes more balanced. That is a real old age. He's wise old. Is not just physically old. And that can happen even when he is young and spiritually advanced. Just like Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj could speak the highest philosophy when he was just young. He is considered one of the Mahajanas because his understanding of spirituality is on a very, very high level. Therefore, it is the maturity of the consciousness, how much one has elevated one's consciousness, is how much one is taking shelter of the Supreme Lord, how much one has understood the urgency of taking this process, that will make one a really old person. And how much one is free from all these material desires, which may come and which will go. And therefore, here disciples of Srila Prabhupada write that one doctor in England is seriously proposing euthanasia for elderly persons who are no longer productive. Euthanasia is another term, mercy killing. People become old, they're in the coma for many days or years, just surviving like vegetable. So with the consent of sometimes their relatives or friends, or with their own consent, patient's consent, they are killed. There are two types, passive and active. Passive euthanasia with their consent. Of course, in India also it has become legal, passive euthanasia, since 2011. After a very serious case, one nurse, she went through a very traumatic situation, and it had created such a trauma for her that she was in coma for 42 years. And her other colleagues, they were very merciful. They were caring for her. For 42 years they nursed her, took care of all their whole problems and everything. And finally she died. But because of this case, government took that decision that yes, it is needed. We cannot prolong the death. We cannot keep persons suffering in that condition for so long. It may appear like that. Of course, it's a debatable topic. Some countries still it is not allowed. Some places it's becoming legal. But if we go to the root of the problem, why these problems are arising, we will come to the conclusion again that it is lack of Krishna consciousness. We do not see from the proper perspective. We need to see them as spirit souls from the higher dimension. And whatever suffering is there, it's very difficult. Somebody to live in that condition, it's very difficult. So these are some of the problems of this Kali Yuga. Old age, disease, death. And Lord knew that this is a problem, this is a huge Kali Yuga, is a huge, so many problems, ocean of faults, ocean of problems. So what is the hope for the people of this Kali Yuga? How they will be saved from onslaught of Kali Yuga? And therefore Narad Muni once he went to Dwarka to see Lord. He was also worried about impending Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga was going to come, and he saw that people of Kali Yuga were so fallen, so many sinful activities going on, meat eating, intoxication, gambling, illicit sex. There is no hope. So when he went to Dwarka, he saw Lord Krishna. He was with Rukmani. And Rukmani was also in a very remorse condition. She was also worried, and Lord asked, what has happened? And she told that only Srimati Radharani knows why I am crying. And when Narad Muni came, they worshipped Narad Muni as their acharya, as their guru. And when Lord Krishna saw that even Narad Muni is worried, then he was thinking that, oh, what has happened? My wife is disturbed, my guru is not happy, what is the problem? So Narad Muni explains that now your pastime is getting over very soon, and next Kali Yuga is going to start. And Kali Yuga, there are so many problems. What is the hope for people of Kali Yuga? How they'll be saved? So Lord Krishna tells him, do not worry, I'll come in Kali Yuga. I'll come again as Lord Gauranga. I'll take this golden form, the mood of Srimati Radharani, mood and complexion of Srimati Radharani, and come again and propagate the holy name. And this holy name will deliver all the people of Kali Yuga. So you go and tell all the, you go to all the planets, invite so many demigods to take birth in Bengal, where I am going to take my incarnation. So Narad Muni goes to Golok Vrindavan. And in Golok Vrindavan, one part of Golok Vrindavan, Shvetadeep, there is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He tells that, yes, I am going to come. He was being worshipped by so many devotees there. And he also tells that, when I come, after some years, my one prominent devotee will come. Senapati Bhakta, commander-in-chief devotee, he will come. And he will deliver, he will spread this message. So Lord Narad Muni, he goes and meets, he goes to Brahma Loka, he invites Brahmaji, who comes as Haridas Thakur. He goes to invite Balaram also, who comes as Nityananda Prabhu. So in this way, so many, Indra comes as Brahaspati, Parvatmani, Vidyavachaspati. In this way, so many demigods, is Krishna's eternal associates, Balaram is his eternal associates, they take birth to participate in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. And we will see within few days, Gaura Purnima is approaching very fast. Devotees will narrate and glorify Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And of course all this has been possible because of the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, who took this message of Lord Chaitanya and gave this message to so many people out of the Western world. And we are also receiving this in the same line. So we are very grateful to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.